we don't have any confirmed deaths here. They did in Seattle.
Not yet. There.
As soon as they talk about a pandemic, Whitey's, oh God, yes, let's buy guns.
There he's on camera. We got him, folks.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got him.
Oh, shit. You're recording too. Oh, this dude's going to get me caught up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Killing Fields. This is episode 2 of the podcast.
Is that really the name of the show?
No. I'm down.
Killing Fields.
Holy
Jesus.
But you know what, dude? I'm kind of down.
Until anyone actually gives me a name for the podcast, I'm just going to keep going. Like y'all want to see me be a dictator.
Every
I'll just
episode,
go on until someone gets
the Killing Ones. The Killing Fields.
Well, welcome to the on today's episode of the Politburo. We're going to have...
Oh, Jesus. I like it.
Episode 2 of Chapo Trap House.
No, please. There have never been this many people of color on Chapo Trap House.
Oh, man. I don't know anything about it. So we're back. We're talking politics again.
Well, this is a random question. What's the name of the pizza place that was like part of Pizzagate?
Comet Pizza.
Comet Pizza.
Welcome back to Comet Pizza.
I guess.
This is like Trader Joe's has a podcast inside Trader Joe's. You do inside Comet Pizza.
They do?
Inside Comet Pizza be hard ass name. That's kind of fresh. I'm going to go
inside. We got to use that Toy Story picture, like the pizza, the Rocket pizza. Use that as our logo.
That go kind of
I mean, you are sponsored by Disney.
Also, stop giving out free ideas. This podcast.
Should we start at 5 now?
No. We're going in.
He is live. No, Chalamet,
you're
live.
Bam, you don't understand.
No, we're rolling with pizza.
There's stuff that I was using before 3 minutes that might make it in the podcast.
Hey, man.
So,
Bam, that's the danger of Dictator Dan. When he clicks record, everything's fair game.
GG.
Everything's fair game.
Should we really start at 5?
No. So the first thing that he's so worried. It's so
funny. No, I'm not. I'm just like, it's so bad right now.
No, it's great.
It's great.
This is fully good. So, this is a podcast that we do politically every once in a while when we're so inclined. And the last time we left off, we were talking about the New Hampshire kind of primary and what happened since then.
Caesar was not there.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, no, that was a very mild one compared to episode 0. Episode 0, which was so bad we didn't publish it.
Thank you, God.
It'll be a lost episode.
This is my debut right now.
I'm not going to say anything that needs to be bleeped out this time.
I can't promise that. For sure, Sean's going to get bleeped out 8 times.
That's a great goal.
Sean's insane.
It's going to be a great time editing this.
Yeah, so it's going to come online.
Since we last left off, we talked about the New Hampshire primary, and we made some predictions there. I don't remember them. I don't care. It doesn't matter. So we're just going to move straight past that. All you need to know is that... Bernie won New Hampshire kind of predictably. And then there was Nevada where Bernie kind of killed it.
Killed it, definitely.
Yeah. And then South Carolina where Bernie got killed.
He did get killed.
He did.
Yeah.
K-I-L-T. Killed.
K-I-L-T.
Yeah.
Scottish style. It was really bad. But Joe Biden, though, had a strong suit with African American supporters who remember him as Barack Obama's white friend.
That's
first
known as that guy was
the first
Obama.
White president. Yeah.
I got the delegate count here too.
Ooh, okay.
Great. So we'll get to Super Tuesday, and then we'll get to the delegate count because we're recording this right after.
Did you bleep that out?
Shout out America Samoa.
Howdy Modi. So we're gonna talk later about some of the other candidates, what happened, but that brings us to South Carolina primary where Joe Biden finally caught a break in the first time he had run in 30 years in all of his political campaigns.
The first time he ever won a state, and
in a presidential nomination.
He's ran three times. He plagiarized a couple times in the 80s. Deadass.
Hey, who didn't in the 80s?
Hey, you want to know how progressive Joe Biden is? He is copied from white politicians and black politicians.
I can respect the
gotten arrested with black politicians.
Joe Biden is so diverse. He is made up getting arrested with white politicians and black politicians. Yeah.
He also forgot that he made up.
He doesn't discriminate.
This episode is not sponsored for Biden 2020.
This episode is sponsored by Metamucil. Including Joe Biden's listening. But South Carolina was an interesting turn of things because it seemed like, anyone who wanted to say that Joe Biden was viable finally had an opportunity to say that and make that argument in a way that didn't make sense. It was only one state, but it was one important state. Yeah. And it was a pretty bad loss, to be fair.
For Bernie.
And it was also a bad loss for Amy Klobuchar, who hadn't won anything. It was a bad loss for Pete Buttigieg.
Amy.
They both dropped out.
Buttigieg just dropped out. I was also going to make the point that it was a bad night at that point for Elizabeth Warren, but nevertheless, she persisted. So Klobuchar and Buttigieg drop out, and they meet up with Beto O'Rourke from Texas, and they get together and do a rally for
Betito.
Yeah, Betito.
No soy Beto.
No, never mind.
Don't do it.
Dan.
First bleeping coming. It's the bleeper himself.
No, so.
We should have a ticker code for the amount of times we get bleeped. Who has the most bleeps?
That would be a great like interactive betting thing where people watching could be Caesar's like.
Over under on 10 and Caesar getting 5 bleeps.
Exactly.
They have like 538 markets and graphs and shit. No, but like it got to that point where they all got together and did like a super endorsement of Joe Biden on stage. Pete Buttigieg got out his Texan accent that he had had during the entire campaign, not trying to pander at all.
That was beautiful.
Apparently he speaks well rehearsed.
Yeah, at least he knew how to say barbecue in Texan.
Yes,
but like
he also did a little Spanish too.
Yeah,
he speaks Spanish.
He got all those endorsements.
It was gusto food.
It was televised in Texas and everywhere. And then Super Tuesday, Biden holds the South, which is typical of Joe Biden. And Bernie held his own. He didn't win Texas, but he came in a close second. Mm-hmm. And then in the West, in Colorado, Utah, California, he did really well. Shout out American Samoa for giving Bloomberg and Tulsi Gabbard some love.
Lord knows why, but that's a long flight. They didn't want to go there.
Guess it's a home game.
Oh, and Bloomberg dropped out.
After Super Tuesday because it was clear after Super Tuesday that like
he was gonna make a comeback.
No, it was clear.
You spend $700 million because you're bored, and it's like. Let me run for president real quick.
Yeah. He spent enough to give each American $1 million.
Yeah, and still have money left over just from his advertising.
Just to get 13%. Like, how does that feel, man? I'm an asshole.
I think he feels great, honestly.
Yeah, honestly he probably feels great.
He's still like the 15th.
Because he's like nothing's changed about
him. He has a name out there now. He has a name for sure.
He's cloud chasing hard, and it worked for him.
Yeah, materially speaking, nothing about his life changes. More people know his name.
Exactly, which is going to get him more places on TV and stuff like that. Absolutely.
Everybody should have
He should have ran on UBI.
No, it's kind of bad that Bloomberg like missed the opportunity to really
Yang and Bloomberg combo.
he missed the opportunity to like really big dick Andrew Yang and just be like, I'm going to give every American $1 million.
That would be the biggest stunt flex ever, and I would be like, this is the best debate I've ever watched. Yeah. He's like, I'm going to give every American $1,000. I'm gonna give them $1 million.
Yeah.
Watch me.
$2 million? $2 million? Is Gates here? $3 million?
It's Anderson Cooper with a Texas 10-gallon hat going, $3 million, $4 million, $5 million, another $6 trillion.
Sold to Bloomy.
I mean, like, if I actually wish our debates actually work like that because they would more accurately reflect our political system.
Oh, it is an option.
What's
fake?
What's the final delegate count? Bam Cornacki at the stats desk.
Yes. Come on, Jamie. Let's see the stats, Jamie.
Comfortable. Biden at 624, Sanders 556.
Okay. The California is still like allocating delegates because they take like 5 years.
We only have like 300 million people.
From what I heard, that it takes like a month actually.
Yeah, I mean, and the reason why is because California makes voting actually accessible, which I think a topic we'll get to in a certain point is how do you get more people to vote? But like, they make it so you can vote 2 weeks before the election. You can kind of vote 3 days after the election.
They give those ballots like way early in advance too. You can them whenever you want.
People throw them away apparently, but
you can drop the ballots at the polling place, which is the Bamanized, like Extreme Galaxy Bray way of voting.
And what people don't know is even before voting opens, you can actually drop in any government facility. Yeah, like they're supposed to be like responsible for turning anyone when they have ballots open.
Yeah,
correct.
So California makes it like dumbass easy to vote.
Yeah,
like,
but people still wait in line for hours. I'm just like, what are you doing?
People Eldorado West out in the pond standing there next to the ducks.
It really bugs me.
Like, y'all don't want to just drop it off?
It made me sad to see all these people of color looking miserable in line.
I was right here. I just walked by a whole line of people. What are they getting? IDs? What's going on here? Jeez.
Give California 2 more years and it will be IDs, yes.
It'll be, but maybe some of the people are registering at like, during the same time, which you can do, you can same day register.
That's a lot.
But that's better than nothing.
You know? Yeah, true. If they're registering, that's actually what we need. But you know, they can just do it like online, some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, you, Anyways, yeah. So we're at this point now where Warren then decides to. So Bloomberg drops out of the race because he also realizes that he's stealing votes from Biden.
Yeah.
And otherwise, Biden would be winning more. I mean, that was like playing with danger there, buddy.
This is the third backup one.
Wow. But
no fucks given.
No. To tell us what it's like to be in the 1% seas.
You have to be blonde to understand.
Well, the writing was on the wall for the fact that Bloomberg was just stealing votes from Biden's camp. If anything, Bloomberg was the best thing that could have happened to Sanders at this point.
Yeah.
But also, Warren's definitely stealing some votes there because she's not polling above third or fourth. She lost Massachusetts, her home state.
Lost her home district, too.
Damn.
Yeah. It was
What's
really
up
not.
With that?
I mean, her public opinion.
Snake in the weeds.
That there's a number of things about snakes that have made this, but
Bernie bro.
Block him, Bernie bro.
Canceled.
No,
he's mean.
I would rather pay $5 billion out of pocket for healthcare than like a Bernie bro's tweet on Twitter.
Seriously.
But the thing is, let's talk about that. Why do you think she like lost her own region? Like that's pretty intense when you're running for president. It's the one place you're supposed to be guaranteed is your home.
There's a lot.
The home
of
court.
Well, like let me give up like part of it. It's there is an aspect of sexism that goes to it that has to be like admitted, especially as like a podcast with like a bunch of dudes on it. Like there is absolutely that fact.
100%.
Yeah, yeah. And it's gonna be extra applied to a candidate regardless. But given that that's like one big factor, next is her.
There's a lot of flaws with it.
Right. But like the next things are just like ever since she went from being the champion of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which she fought against the Obama administration for. So she was
awesome.
She was seen as anti-establishment then, to DNA tests, to Medicare for all, JK, to like...
Yeah. It was kind of weird, yeah.
To, I think you called me out on public television?
Oh, man.
That was so weird. And at the end of the debate,
Tom Steyer
like trying to talk in there, like while the camera mic's on, what are you doing?
Yeah.
This doesn't make us like you. Like, this looks messy, and everybody's going to turn their vote somewhere else because y'all too look messy right here. Exactly. This looks messy.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people.
For being a champion of the left, too, then just getting further and further, more to the center.
She was definitely like the, I think out of all like the candidates, she was like the one that was here and had the biggest drop off. Like, she was soaring.
I mean, her and
Kamala, too, because Kamala had such a big.
Well, she dropped out.
But she dropped out, but I'm saying, those are the two.
So like, Warren was like
a year ago where I thought you could arguably those two said, were going to be up, but they just dropped off the face of the planet.
Three, four months ago, you could arguably said Warren was top, like number one, like easily.
Well, yeah, she had a good chance. Yeah. It was weird to me to see her do so bad in Iowa. I was so shocked Pete Buttigieg being ahead of her.
I mean, my analysis that I haven't shared a lot of places is that I think where Warren's campaign started to flounder, at least to me, was that it was media driven. In the same way that Klobuchar's rise and fall was entirely media driven, in the sense that during the no one cared about Klobuchar. She'd gone to the debates when thresholds were super low and anyone could get into the debates.
Yeah,
and like to the
just hung around
to the people who were hosting the debates. Klobuchar looked like a more serious person who could be president than Michael Bennett. Why? Not really much of a reason, but like they just saw, oh, she's from the Midwest, she's a Democrat, she's like moderate, she might make sense as like to the establishment class, she makes sense as a candidate more than like any other milquetoast person. But in that same way that they were able to control the conversation like that, Elizabeth Warren took a lot of the fire on the how do you pay for Medicare for all question. And Warren really wasn't able to answer it really well. I mean, she went through. She was always asked the question first, especially because this was around the time when she was peaking in the polls. And they're always trying to say, Warren, how do you pay for Medicare for all? And she went through different iterations of answering it, each time getting it stronger. But it's something that Bernie Sanders didn't have to do. I think if Bernie were given that same sort of like attention, again, they just like the media, as they usually do, they wrote him off until it was too late. But if he was given that same kind of attention, I think Bernie would have gone through phases of having to explain the how do I pay and for Medicare for all thing. And he would
forever.
Have, no, but like, he would have floundered a little bit publicly and he would have had to craft that message. But we are thinking of Bernie Sanders would be caused by that. We'd think about that.
Yeah.
I like thinking of it.
I think also he would have a better the biggest thing he's running on, and he would have more of a say compared to what Elizabeth Warren said. He would say, okay, this is how exactly you pay for it, because I remember when she got asked that, she kind of stumbled upon the question and then would keep adding on to it and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Instead of Bannery would have like straightforward answer, okay, I've been saying this for years, I ran on it the election before, and this is the same thing, boom boom boom.
I wonder who gets bashed more in like the right wing media space between Warren and Sanders. I would imagine it was Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, I agree. Warren. I agree, because like Pocahontas is just too easy. Like it's a thing where
it's so messed up.
It's messed up, but it's the sad thing is that two people who don't understand politics, who like only participate, they pay attention the week before and then they vote, which is how most people vote.
Yeah.
The most important part of the presidential election season is like October 29th.
Yeah.
Because that's when people actually go, oh, what the fuck? There's an election?
Yeah.
But straight up. Like it's sad, but like that's how it works. And so to that kind of voter, that's what they know Elizabeth Warren as. Not the great stuff she did, and like that's Trump branding, that's right wing media branding, but like
that's the
red baiting shit with like he's a socialist. Like the one good thing Pete Buttigieg said was that, look, the Republicans are going to call me a socialist. They're going to call Joe Biden a socialist.
Yeah,
they're going to call Bernie Sanders a socialist.
Which is a bark.
They call Obama a communist.
I know, literally. Going off your previous point about I don't even think explaining, even if Sanders was going to the position where he had to explain the Medicare for All for everybody and the healthcare, it wouldn't even work, because the thing is it's a trap question, because the minute you start explaining, Americans are done. It's already over. Like, they're not asking you because they want to hear a correct answer. No. They're asking you to get you talking. That's what they want.
And
what's worked, especially with Trump, is just fireball stuff and like quick hits and like jokes like Pocahontas. That's what's like the clout thing is like really what works the best.
And you're 100% right on that, and that's why when watching those debates and seeing Warren answer those, she took the bait rather than reframing the question.
If you got asked how would you pay for Medicare, like how do you pay for Medicare for all?
It's like, how do we pay for our system right now?
No, that's exactly, because you say, okay, would you rather spend more on healthcare or less on healthcare? Like per person. Like that's the best, like you have to reiterate a question back to it so that way you get a fall out of the trap, because then Americans go, wait.
Or like, how do we pay for healthcare? How do we pay for our military?
Exactly. How do you pay for the roads?
Yeah. How do you pay for the street?
How do you pay
you
for the
You want me to go into the whole fabric of how America's made?
Yeah,
we can do this right now on TV.
We put the war in Iraq on the credit card.
It's a dumb question, it's a trap question.
It's a trap question.
But it's an opportunity, and like this is honestly what the only thing the debates are actually testing this time around is, how are you going to wrangle not just Trump, but how are you going to wrangle the media? Because if you don't do that, the media will have their reaction to it.
That's what I was just going to ask. I don't want to like get off topic or whatever.
We're good.
Order you wanted to go, but I feel like one of the big things is, and this is something I talk about often, is everything is going based off a media narrative much more so than what these people are talking about. Because I think we're all seeing this. Like, there's being a media narrative created about Bernie that's completely irresponsible. Like, and it's not true for the most part.
Spell out that media.
Well, just like the Bernie bro aspect, and he's divisive, and like he's just, you know, he's unelectable, and how do you pay for this? And like he's a radical. Whereas, like, the media narrative around Biden is that, you know, he's just like a good old, like, he's just...
You see, if we trust him, he's like, and he's old Joe, we know him.
It doesn't have anything to do with a record or a policy.
Exactly.
It's just relationships among the media class.
And it's just a narrative that they create that, like, people get told, and I can't even blame them for being fooled by that, because... You're supposed to be able to trust these people.
No, yeah, because the society is set up to where we don't have people who study politics really fast. We don't have people who, like, we don't teach politics at such a level to where, like, mathematics, any kind of person can conceivably learn to do it.
Yeah.
We kind of offload all of our political knowledge to these cable news networks.
Yeah.
And, like, until, like, either reading a shit ton of Chomsky or, like, watching this shit for so many years or whatever, you realize that, these media networks have their own agendas, and they're going to say something on their own opinion, but people don't know that. What are you going to say, Sean?
I was going to say, the funny thing is, if you look at the media, like Biden, how he's ran before, if you look at the media in the 80s, they absolutely fucking destroyed him. They killed his campaign because he was about, like, the big thing was, like, the plagiarism stuff. They played things, like, the media went thing and played, like, the Labor Party speech and then played what he said.
Yeah.
And they went, like, back and forth and were grilling him on that. And now today, you get... oh, he's lovable Joe. He's cool.
That was before Bill Clinton deregulated the media.
Yeah, true. And they don't even ask about the South Africa thing. Like,
exactly.
They don't do anything. And I'm just like,
ask Ukraine energy.
Like, how he defended voting for the war in Iraq and stuff about this all of his previous supporting segregationist and stuff.
It would be very easy to say, hey, Biden, you supported the war, and you still do.
And you still do.
And Trump, a lot of his, a lot of the, what made him popular amongst people, not even just Republicans, was that he was out there in the campaign speaking against a war that everybody thought was unpopular,
and especially in against Hillary. He was,
yeah, and using it against Hillary, and that's part of the reason that he won.
100%.
Like, you think that in an election against Trump, he's not going to use that against you. I don't even think he could comprehend that question.
No, I don't think so. That's a lot.
He'd be like, what country are we standing in right now? Am I ready for Senate? Am I ready for president? Is this my sister or is this my wife? Yeah. That's a good question.
It's pretty crazy because if you're going into like a process of debates and you're trying to use the old model of like traditional speech and debate, argumentative, all that stuff, that's out the window. That's not what works. That's not what it's not really a debate. It's not a debate that's going on. It's all about talking points. It's about what clicks.
Funny.
And it's about memes and
what can get you a 30-second
clip. For sure.
100%.
A month later, they're finally dropping clips of when, who was the Latino guy that was running for an
independent,
where he was like ethering Biden, like that was like 3 weeks ago. This clip is making rounds now. I'm like, that's the kind of stuff that sticks. Biden. He was murdering. He's like, do you even know what you're saying? He was like 2 minutes ago. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, like, there's a point where Biden was presumed to be the front runner, and so all 15 or 20 of the candidates at the time laser focus on him.
And they was getting the brain stopped working. He just like,
they started, did they feel sorry for him, or they were just like, okay, maybe it's burning
out. Felt sorry. They just got like, you know, weird. It's like they became like this hush kind of thing. Like, let's all just attack Warren and Sanders.
Because Biden went down in the poll.
And then Biden just kind of would stay there like smiling all weird. Then the hosts or whatever would have to be like, I have this question for Biden because he's just not in there. Like, he's just not in it.
Well, I have a question for Dan and Caesar. Sean, you're out of this. I'm sure. Why do you think it is that the black electorate is so in for Biden? It's not my opinion. I have something that somebody else said that I thought was interesting. But what do you think the reason is? Don't be racist against us, dude. It's not even that far away.
I would actually say the framing of your question is racist.
It is, on purpose.
No, yeah, because I don't...
Well, part of the southern black electorate, how about that?
Sure, I think the framing in the media, which we've all, like, subconsciously decided are the...
tell me if I'm wrong, too. If I'm wrong.
Okay, so, like, I just disagree with the framing that isn't your framing, but it comes from the media that there's a southern black vote, and they think in a certain way, and they are more concerned. Like, it's... No, there's no monolithic voting block, but there is, like, a...
Are a lot of black people supporting Biden?
I think... Black.
Whoa!
Black, I think.
Sure.
I think older black voters are just as disengaged as older white voters.
Okay, well, you know what?
And are just more likely to go into like just regular
whoever they know. Points.
Yeah, and I think they're just because there were polls in South Carolina where people who were voting for Joe Biden didn't know he was against Medicare for All.
And the South Carolina and South Africa thing too. Yeah, I heard about that too.
Yeah, yeah.
They're not informed about.
Yeah, and like, I get it. We want to know why? Because the main issues of, like, working class people of color, even if they're, like, elderly and are more likely to be retired, isn't, like, making sure they watch Rachel Maddow on September 25th, months before the election, or whether he had that one, like, D-block segment about Joe Biden's whatever in South Africa. It's like, no, whatever they're doing in their lives. And they figure out the election, like, a couple weeks before.
None of his negatives have been portrayed on the front page of like the news outlets, and unfortunately, a lot of those areas and people are still heavily relying on news like cable news is their outlet for what they're getting for information in terms of like what the politicians are doing and what the top people are.
Yeah.
So that poll doesn't surprise me that those people didn't even know he's against Medicare for
like the news just doing.
Imagine afterwards they're like, wait a minute, what? Yeah. Wait, he was the only one that wasn't.
I heard this guy saying I forgot his name. I think he was on Democracy Now. And he was talking about, he was saying that, like, he was kind of agreeing that there were a lot of black people voting for Biden over Bernie. And he was saying that a lot of black people don't trust that what Bernie is saying. Like, they like what Bernie is saying, but they don't necessarily trust that Bernie's going to get white people on board for, like, sharing the wealth of this nation.
Right.
Like, it sounds hot, but they don't trust that he's going to be able to do that.
Mm.
Like, because historically, the white establishment is not trying to, like, help America, even poor whites.
But then why would you vote for Biden instead? In that regard,
because for them, what he's saying, is his talking point. For him, he's saying, like, you're gonna think, like, if it's always been bullshit, mm-hmm. and you just don't think that what Bernie is talking about can happen because basically it's just too racist out here, then why even try to do that? Like, basically saying, like, the white people won't vote for Bernie, mm-hmm. because Bernie's talking about, like, sharing the wealth with everybody. Like, they would rather be like, nah, we're not giving them a Medicare and whatever you're talking about. We're gonna just ride with Trump then. So that's what, like, he was mm-hmm. saying that there's a lot of people that feel that
it's
way.
Like how the point you said in our chat was how healthcare, Medicare for All hasn't been a thing here because it's too racist.
America's too racist to pass Medicare for All because the conceptualization of using a social program to give poor black people any kind of help.
Just everybody.
Not just everybody. How
fucking sad is that?
I don't think
Bam even, like, necessarily agrees with this analysis so much, but, like,
I just think that not necessarily, like, the population is so racist, just the power establishment is just like, nah, we're not interested in that. Like, in the same way that, like, Germany is like, yeah, we're down, sure, everybody should have health care, whatever. Even, like, the AFD is not trying to
get rid of your health care.
Yeah, no.
They'll kick out immigrants.
Yeah, kick immigrants off the health care.
They'll give you health benefits and paid time leave.
Yeah, but, like, in America, it's just like
PTO on the Fourth Reich.
But
it's a lot of paperwork.
But maybe for them, they're not seeing, like, so many what they consider non-Germans.
They're going to Turkey for business?
they don't see so many what they would deem as non-Germans mm-hmm. benefiting from that program. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The white power establishment in this country does not look at me and you as Americans.
Right. So, like,
so they're not really interested in giving us that, you know, those same benefits.
Well, there's, like, a similar argument that Democrats made on Bernie Sanders during the primary. That, like,
that?
Look, you say that Finland and Denmark and all these other countries have good healthcare and they have social welfare programs. Well, yes, because the reason they do is because they're homogenous socially, which means they're
holy
all
shit,
white.
Somebody said that?
Yeah, Democrats.
Who?
I don't remember, but Democrats.
No, dude, you gotta tell me who said that, dude.
I don't remember.
That's the most racist person I've ever heard. Who is this person?
This is a very common talking point that, like,
that's really sad.
This is a very common talking point that, like, because they have a homogenous culture.
Damn, you're not somebody that racist should not be on TV.
No, it's called.
Tell me, is Rush Limbaugh or something? Does he know the word homogenous?
Alex Jones.
No, it's probably Steve Cornette. Like, I'm not gonna slander anyone, but, like,
I'm not gonna jump an ape, but it might be Steve.
No, but, like, it's a milk toast talking point that it only works because the same kind of barriers where people are like, no, I won't give healthcare to the other,
yeah.
don't exist because in these countries there is no other.
Yo, that's gonna make me cry. Okay,
I'm not gonna lie. That's because in Germany you get health, everybody gets healthcare.
In every fucking country, everyone gets healthcare.
Okay, Dan, I
felt rage in my
body. Okay, Dan. I don't think you're lying, but please find me that somewhere. Not necessarily now.
I will.
But, like, find me that person so I can blast how racist they are.
That is unbelievable.
Can you imagine?
Holy
but, like,
fuck.
For a moment, I want to get.
Jesus, Bam's going to go on like a 15 Twitter
Oh, yeah.
Street.
Like, you're
I'm
so,
just,
like.
This
I mean,
is the biggest
Bam
I've ever
That
in the
person
world.
Is so unpatriotic. Because we're talking about citizenship, like, excluding undocumented people for a second.
Yes.
We're talking about, like, citizens of this nation
mm-hmm.
that everybody pays taxes
pay
into. Everybody,
you
like,
social security card.
Whatever. Like, we're all. Did you find them?
I found one because I know this guy said it a lot.
Who?
Vox.com's own Matthew Iglesias.
Okay, well,
the co-founder.
Look, I need to read
the
that.
Website.
I need to read that.
But here's the thing, like, literally if you Google just, like, any of those Scandinavian countries and then homogeneity or whatever like that phrase is, then you will actually get this is an argument that is in literature going back I guess you're gonna look at this at one point and go, oh wow, we were teaching like cranium measurements in the
70s. Phrenology.
Like at some point want to get back to Warren's aspect of this race.
Out. We need to talk about who she's going to endorse and yeah, why she's that's taking what I'm so talking long. About.
You know why she's taking so long.
She dropped out when Wednesday.
She's trying to get the best. She's trying to get the best
dropped
woman
out
for
Wednesday.
Her,
she dropped out Wednesday. She dropped out after Super Tuesday.
It was Wednesday, correct?
Yeah.
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 So it's Saturday, and she still hasn't endorsed anybody.
She says she's trying to get the best deals
right
now.
She says she's thinking about which
what is the better role in which administration?
Dan, how would you feel if she doesn't endorse Bernie?
Fucking.
How would you feel personally?
Again, I don't like the framing of your question because I don't take any of this shit personally, and I think that's a problem with a lot of Bernie supporters and Liz supporters, and no one actually.
What would you think of her? Would you think?
No. Yeah, like I've said this, that I think that Warren, her job at the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, some people water that down. Some people say, like, look, she's fake. But she's like incredible. And yeah, she's been like,
absolutely. She deserves a lot of credit for that.
The Republican shit and being fugazi on some like forums in the past, like, she's done a really good job at like actually advocating for these things.
Mm-hmm.
She'd be throwing it all fucking away for advocating for Joe Biden, the same person that like
she grabbed with a
bike lock and pulled him out on the stage over credit card reform for like two debates straight and then go endorse him. I mean, like, I'm not gonna put it above Elizabeth Warren because Elizabeth Warren is a party person and will fall in line and did with Hillary Clinton she had literally no need to. Bernie is close to her ideologically, and even with their like campaign season spats, I think that like they like want the best for each other as politicians. They should, it makes sense for them to.
I think it's more of a competitive thing with them more than like them like actually having dislike.
I don't think it's competitive with Bernie.
I mean in terms of like a rivalry kind of thing.
A lot of those people that get to that level are very they're very ambitious. They're very ambitious and I don't say self-concerned, but you know the person that's just like want to achieve, like just never relax.
Overachieving.
Yeah. So like I wouldn't be so like. It would make me sad because it would just make me feel like it's another loss for progressive politics.
100%.
And like,
it would mean that like Elizabeth Warren literally. She's very, she calls herself a progressive, but when it comes to the end of the day, which is what people are trying to say, capitalism versus socialism,
she shows the stripes. And it, like, for me, like, I told Ben before, I'm like, to me, it would just be like, wow, like that's another like snake in the grass. Like that was somebody.
Come on, dude. Why are you doing the Bernie Bros?
I mean, it is because the thing is like, this is somebody who was like campaigning their front lines for one side. But then when you go and support Biden, like you literally just like, come on.
Would
like,
you feel a way that she really didn't whack. Endorse anybody?
Yes. Because like right now, Elizabeth Warren has power. She's the most like powerful party like surrogate right now. And whatever she says will have like an impact in important states, especially like the states in the Midwest are going to be voting soon.
Yes.
Those could go either way. It's said that
scary.
Before like, so the prior to going into this is that if Warren jumps out of the race, it's about a 50-50 split between her supporters going to Biden and to Bernie.
Mm-hmm.
So Warren's opinion on those two candidates could make a difference.
Yeah, yeah, especially with how close they are.
I mean, like, if Elizabeth Warren should be respecting this decision, if she wants to go on ESPN and do the decision and sit somewhere like a broken down GM plant somewhere outside of Flint and just be like, Chris Matthews, I've made my decision.
I'm taking my talents.
Retired.
I'm taking my talents to Vermont.
Yeah. I'm taking my talents to the guillotine.
Taking my talents to Ukraine. Gonna meet with the Biden son. It's gonna be great.
We're gonna talk about oil. We're gonna talk about some petrol and gas.
Yeah, so like, no. Warren, her endorsement does matter. If she makes no endorsement, it's the one thing that's not as bad as endorsing Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But like, it's like the one step below it.
Yeah, it's barely a step.
Yeah.
But because I've heard that she's talking about like waiting until the nominee is made, and then she's just going to go hard.
Warren just cares about women so much that she's holding out her endorsement so that she can endorse Tulsi Gabbard.
With two delegates.
Gives her a total of 13.
You know who else I'm kind of annoyed with, too? Andrew Yang kind of had, like, a lot of, like, grassroots support. And a few celebrities were, like, rocking with Yang Gang. I think it was Fugazi because I think they just trying to, like, be apolitical by supporting Andrew Yang. Yeah. But, although I guess he's working on CNN now, so maybe he doesn't want to endorse anybody. I don't know what, like, the real reason is. But.
And he also, to just add context, he's starting a foundation that's, like, privately funded and through himself to try to, like, advocate for the policies he was talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
In addition to involving more Asian Americans in the political process. So, like, he's got that going on the side, too.
Identity politics. I'm sure. so, I would like for him to make an endorsement as well because... Yeah. Come on, dude. Like, Amy Klobuchar, Pete Buttigieg, like... Pete Buttigieg won Iowa.
No, this is
he endorsed Biden the next, like...
This is kind of the point is that, like, the establishment they're lockstep.
They have one
conference call, and they're like, all right, you do this, and they do it.
Yeah. Like, what's up with these other people,
Look how hard Klobuchar is going against Biden in the debates, and now she's like, cool.
Yeah, go vote for Biden.
No, because, like, at the end of the day, it's like, we're on the side of capital. No one else.
We're on the side of the... The establishment.
It's really weird. Like you're seeing even more division within the Democratic Party in this situation because like when you're able to like just all come together real quick and just join up to go against.
Here's a question I have actually for everybody: if Biden is the eventual nominee, what do you think is the state of the Democratic Party going forward?
It's over.
Do you think it's like
over, dude. Yeah, it's over because if Joe Biden's the nominee, Trump's going to win by above 380 delegates, and the Democratic Party is going to do that soul searching the Democratic Party is going to do that soul searching thing. Like, remember, never forget when after 2012, Republicans got in a room after the inauguration, and were like, "We need to figure out how to appeal to Latino and Latina voters." Yeah. Trump happens, but like,
never mind.
No, like, the Democrats are going to do that soul searching, and they're going to turn around and have a meeting, and they're going to realize it's a crater because like all the people who have passion about the Democratic Party are going to be like. Riding on Bernie Sanders till he turns to dust and like getting to start another political party there. All the establishment people are going to be a laughing stock because they ran Hillary and Biden against them. The Republicans are going to get horny as shit.
Yeah. They're going to take back the House, dude. It's going to be bad.
Like, it'll be like death and like.
No, like, legit, we should move.
Yeah,
like I'm not
kidding.
Like, yeah, no,
I'm not either.
RBG, notorious RBG, is on her last leg.
Oh, yeah, she's gonna
he's gonna nominate. So I'm trying to think, like
Herman Cain.
Herman Cain for the Supreme Court.
Like he's gonna nominate. Sean Hannity is gonna be a Supreme Court judge.
If that happens, I'll tweet out, "I quit."
Yeah, like no, like it's gonna be really bad. Like,
Democratic
Trump's gonna. Trump's gonna be destroyed.
Jeff Biden, Sessions, Supreme
like,
Court.
Like when oh, Jeff, Jesus. When Joe Biden is on that debate stage with Donald Trump, we're all gonna be watching it. Like not rooting for Trump, but like laughing at it. Like laughing with Trump at Biden.
You know what it is?
Like,
yeah. We're gonna be like
watching. get him, Trump.
Yeah, get him. Because we're gonna be like, look what y'all did.
Like, we told you so.
Yeah. This is your king.
Here's the thing. I did the same thing against when Hillary.
Yeah.
Is this your king?
In 2016, I was saying the same thing because people were like, "Oh no, Hillary's got this locked down. Watch, she's not gonna lose."
Hillary
like,
is going to surgically eviscerate them.
I'm like, dude.
She has too much of a record.
One of the most flawed candidates in political history.
She's one of the most hated. She's unpopular.
And I'm like,
for 20 years.
Yeah, that. I'm like, you're like, that's just gonna not work. And I like, when that happened, I love seeing all everybody with the tail between their legs and stuff.
But to be honest with you, I watched those three debates, and she didn't do bad.
No,
but she was just too smug, and it was just
she's way too. Everybody was
very arrogant and smug,
fucking cocky.
Yeah, and like.
And that's the way that's the same kind of mindset that's powering Joe Biden.
Right now. Yeah.
And there's a little bit of it in Warren's campaign, but I think that's just truly grassroots. I think there's like, this is my one thing, I'm going to try to keep it brief because I can go into a large thing, but like there's a lot of Warren supporters out there who heavily took their identity and made that as like the thing that tied them to the Warren campaign. Their identity.
I 100% agree. I heard like, somebody on Democracy Now doing that a lot, and she was pissing me off.
You know, there's a lot of even people I know, relatives, did the same damn thing. So they were all upset when she, when she withdrew her campaign. Then they were just, you could tell that they were
putting they're like mad at Bernie.
Thing. Yeah,
yeah. They're like, why does a woman have to drop? It's like,
exactly.
It's automatically assuming that people's. I said the top of this podcast. Yes, reason there number one is there's a lot of sexism, but it's automatically assuming that all of everyone's reasoning against Elizabeth Warren is purely based in she's a woman.
Here's another thing. No one ever says that Bernie Sanders is a Jew. You how anti-Semitic people are. Fucking crazy bad anti-Semitic. Someone, no one ever brings up that he would be the first Jewish president.
Someone literally had a Nazi flag at his rally, and they didn't talk about it on They didn't talk about it on cable news for an entire night.
That
sucks.
Like he had family members.
If someone were burning a cross at a Kamala Harris rally, or someone were talking about burning witches at a Klobuchar or Warren rally, or someone were doing like anti-gay shit at a Buttigieg rally, Fox News alerts, CNN.
It'd be bad.
They put Don Lemon and Anderson Cooper in tight black shirts in like South Bend, Indiana, going like, we're going to be talking
about this. They definitely mobilize all the troops for that. They would go hard.
But then when
Bernie has to do his own press conference live streamed on YouTube getting super chat.
Super chat in. All right. $3 donation from Jim in Seattle.
It's disgusting.
We got a $5 comment from Mick in Michigan who says Nazis are no bueno, sad face.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
No, from C420.
$100 super chat. Debate Sam Cedar.
When are you going to be on JRE again?
So like,
I knew a lot of Warren. I know a lot of Warren supporters. And I honestly, on some level, I consider myself a Warren supporter too. I like
my second choice.
Yeah, like easily.
I always said that was either one to win. I'm happy.
Yeah.
Definitely didn't say Biden.
And another thing with the woman thing, like I think obviously there's sexism is rampant.
Yeah.
But let's also not forget that Hillary won by 3 million votes. Like she won the popular vote.
Yeah.
So like
the idea that female, like people don't want a female president, that's abolished essentially if you're talking about population of people.
Yeah, more people voted for her.
We voted for her.
Another question I had that I actually had in the chat was are we gonna just go like
bring
your super chat question.
Here's my thing. As a personal thing, I prefer direct democracy to a representative democracy. Do you guys agree?
No. Okay. This entire process, and I'll keep it brief, but like this entire process of caucusing and primaries and people watching the debates and just like not knowing basic facts, I trust people's hearts and opinions are in the right places, mainly because those hearts and opinions and exit polls align with me and that America's hardcore communist. But I don't agree in that. I don't trust them to make the right decisions because there is no way for
Dictator Dan.
You
don't know humans.
There is no apparatus that exists. What are we going to do? Okay, direct democracy time. Make sure you turn into Fox News. They're going to tell you all about the latest things you're going to be voting on the ballot.
Yeah.
And then once you know, you're going to go into the voting booth and make actual fucking decisions.
Holy shit.
No way. That like, there's no way.
Well, because here's the thing. What are we going to do? The only democracy on earth is Switzerland, right? Like, that's the only, like, true direct democracy.
I'm sure there's people they're complaining to, though.
Oh, yeah. But here's the thing that I like in their country is when they have a really big thing that gets voted on, like, in their Congress and stuff, it goes down to the people. So, example, like,
So everything's a referendum?
It's more like it's like California's proposition.
It's like that, but it's the entire country.
Jesus Christ.
So it's like, if you have an example, like Medicare for All turns into a bill and it gets voted on, that would go down to the people.
The thing is,
everybody has to own a gun, too.
Yes, and everybody has to go into
like they all have to own a gun.
Yeah, they
build their culture in their own way.
Yeah. Wouldn't that effectively abolish the whole system we do for voting for presidents also, though?
No,
because how can you have a delegate system for presidential, but then you have actual like propositions going on and nationwide, but like that doesn't go into account based on the size of the states?
I'm not going to argue with you because our system makes no sense, and I'm not going
to
take
our system is so broken and stupid that doesn't make sense. And it was warned from the beginning of our fucking country that said, don't make political parties, don't do this shit.
I wasn't there.
Okay, I like what you're saying. Like, I feel what you're saying, but I don't think that the representative versus direct democracy is the problem as much as it's like,
oh, it's just people just a benefit question.
From lying. Like, you can benefit from spreading lies. Non-truths.
Oh, 100%.
So, yeah. Like, so since that's the case, like, yeah, then it's hard to have direct democracy.
Then because then you never know what kind people, of clout.
Yeah, oh, because, God, like,
that'd be so bad.
You know, just let somebody...
Bloomberg just decide to pay fuck Jerry and say, hey, Proposition B that says it's going to cause a wealth tax will actually make it so you can't have big gulp sodas anymore, all right? Yeah, like, so 99%...
No, I love my big gulps.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah. No. It would be really easy to manipulate people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because, and with our system. So, but if you change
if
that...
If you change the complete
there's
system,
there's a lot that has to change for it to be...
That's what I'm saying. Would you, in general,
like, I don't have a problem
in a perfect world.
I think
direct democracy is perfect if you have the right structure in place.
That's what I was getting at.
Our mindset. But, like, what our current state of what is happening now and happened 2016, Lord hell no.
Yeah.
Do not trust us Americans with that. No
if we
way.
Can get, like, if we're able to make it so, like, on Facebook or YouTube, everyone got, like, non-biased, like, political information on everything, and it was like interesting enough for people to pay attention to it.
And news outlets weren't able to just like feed any kind of like
there are regulations on what like you can have analysis in a certain way, but like
well, yeah, that's the thing too, because in other countries the news is completely different. As well, like it's another part is it's, yeah, and so it's like the Germanic nations. Their news is like 8 minutes long. It's literally just fact, and that's it. No opinion pieces, nothing. But not like how it is.
But I mean, like even then, like just where this like is here in the rest of the world, that way of doing cable news is irrelevant. And when you go online, even in Switzerland, it's open season.
Yeah.
But they don't have like four networks dominating the.
Yeah, but the mass would. Like the majority of it too, because also it boils down to the way that their campaigns are run and stuff too. Because, like example, other different political parties and stuff at different countries are completely different than here. Because here's a balloon show. Because you talk to people who are watching outside from the U.S., they're like, "What the fuck is your political process?"
The two-party system versus the parliamentary process. I get, but also. It would change the incentives to where, like in California, for example, I, at least as a voter, maybe I'm not a representative, but when I see there's a bunch of propositions, I go, oh shit, time to read up about all these propositions. Which one's a bond for this? Yeah. Which one's a tax for this? Like, I could know a little bit more about all of them, but as a voter, knowing that these are decisions and it's also like taxpayer money, I do... spend at least like I'd say maybe an average of 5 minutes on each one if there's like 5 or 10 of them. Which so like important. It changes
I'll
the incentives.
Be like, what does DSA say? And I'll just do that.
And but like, that's the thing is like you
because I know their politics lined up with me for the most part.
Yeah, you then go to voter guides from political organizations that you align with your politics and you trust. But even those, like, I think that's a good guide to go off of. But even then,
sometimes you can disagree with it or whatnot. There's little nuances with it.
And that's actually a great example where you're talking about democracy. Because remember the whole rent one? That was a big discussion point in California.
The rent control.
Think about the discussion. I mean, there was two people saying this. It was either this is great or this is terrible. And you can imagine that like being on a nationwide thing, like lowering.
Well, you know how much money the real estate people spent to get that?
Oh, crazy
millions.
Yeah.
Which is why,
like, in direct democracy world, if... on TV, in this case, it's not Bloomberg, it's your landlord. The person you're paying, like, hey, I decided to raise your rent $50 so I could move that $50 into an ad campaign to make sure they don't stop me from raising your rent.
So, like, there was like a carbon tax, I think it was in Washington. They were introducing I guess it was Inslee wanted to make a carbon tax, and they were saying that they spent, like, the fossil fuel people spent, like, hundreds of millions of dollars just in Washington to fight against that carbon tax.
Because that ad campaign is way cheaper than actually paying the carbon tax.
It's an investment. Yeah. Like Bloomberg.
Yeah. So, I mean,
it's an investment, homie.
And that's another thing, too. Like,
that's crazy.
You know, I mean, this is somewhat random, but like, one thing I'll always give Obama credit for is when they passed Citizens United, he got out there and spoke against it. Like, he was like, yo, this is fucked up, dude. Like,
this is terrible.
And he had, like, I don't say analysis necessarily. He probably wasn't going that deep into it. But I saw things where he was speaking out against it. And things like that, like, those decisions are what take away from democracy. Like, when you're using money to buy influence.
You get money out of politics.
Yeah, and like things like, what was it, Buckley versus Vallejo and Citizens United is like...
Money for influence, especially like...
Like, I always say that Citizens United is fascism. Like, that's fascism.
100%.
Like...
Cute title, though.
Yeah, right? I remember when I first heard Citizens United, I thought, like, is that really what they're fucking calling
this? It's 1984 shit, really. Yeah, they don't care.
Dead ass.
And it's like our podcast.
No, like, it's...
Our podcast, Citizens United Podcast.
We can get some of that. We can get that right-wing gravy train.
Oh, man.
They don't listen to us. They don't give a damn. They're just going to give us
it
money.
Could be if you call it that.
Coke money is going to roll in
yeah,
right
hell
now.
Hell yeah, shit.
Welcome
yeah.
back. This is...
Citizens United for Liberty.
United.
There you go. There you go. This guy knows.
Okay.
CUSA.
We have a couple more topics here, but I think the most prescient one, and I think the one that will like spark an interesting conversation, is it's based off of where Sean was starting, which is like, what would get people organically more involved in the political process? Because right now you have, and what's an argument with Bernie Sanders? Bernie Sanders is like saying, look, I understand socialism in America is a hill to climb, but I'm not even framing it in socialism. I'm framing it as, hey, wouldn't you as a union worker like these better things? Yes, I agree with that. Believe that. You're like, yes, I'm like, but like, believe that you, if you deserve something that everyone does as your like underlying philosophy, and then go, hey, your healthcare sucks, let's make it cheaper at the point of sale. Yeah. But like, Bernie's argument is that by convincing people to rethink of this in a different framing, he will pull in a voter base that was previously not wanting to actually vote at all because they're too like unbothered by the political process at all because they saw two sides of the same coin. Now, if you were running for president, what would you do to expand your voter base right now?
I don't know. Like, I mean, I guess you just have to run on your principles and like what you believe in. And
that's
like,
really it.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, that
just goes to how do you run a fucking campaign?
No. Because I think a lot of people look at. So a thing you need to stop cracking your knuckles near the microphone.
his toes?
Yeah, he's cracking his toes and ankles
so much. No, it's not my toes, it's my ankle. But it pops with my ligament.
You can't do that near the microphone.
I don't care what ligament, don't pop it.
But the thing you were getting at earlier, which is like inside the psyche of the older black voter, and like there is a younger black voter who's like disenfranchised or disaffected.
Yeah,
sure. Who's like, these politicians don't do shit
for
me.
Hardy.
And there's people who are of the older stripe of politics who is like, I've seen what the radicals try. The radicals get all these people together. They're really excited about this thing, and it goes fucking nowhere because the machine is so much bigger than they
don't
know.
It's just hard.
So they lose hope. And so it's like, I'm talking to, how do you run a campaign where you like give people not that Obama hope, but like we're going to get in there and not just vote you in, but actually like fuck shit up.
You know what I think I would do is talk about apathy. Like, talk about, like, what is the, like, that apathy is a disease, and, like, what's the consequences of apathy? Like, if you're apathetic, but you're a decent person, then the bad people win.
100%.
Because, you know, like, that's...
You're letting them win without speaking up.
You're giving it up for them if you're apathetic, but you're also a decent person. They're terrible people, and they're motivated. 100%. So you gotta be motivated, too. Like, if you're... Especially, like, a young black person, like... I would be like, okay, like, if you think nothing matters, like, first of all, like, a lot of shit matters because wherever you live or whatever, okay, there's potholes, you don't want them to be there, like, that's politics. If there's no potholes, then that's politics. Somebody cared.
Yep.
So, like, you have to speak to that.
Or Domino's cared. Because, you know, Domino's Pizza was filling potholes.
Yeah,
so
fucking wrong. And there was a group in Oregon that was, like, filling potholes, like a public group.
Shout out Domino's, Pop Jones.
I think that you have
Little Caesars.
I think you have
Pothole.
I think you have to speak to the apathy and, like, really address it in a way that people can be like, oh, damn, like, that he's talking about me. And, like, you know what? Let me get off my ass. Obviously, I was doing FDS. Like, it was about apathy.
Yeah.
Like, just trying to get rid of that. Because these people on the other side, they're ready to go. And they're ready to make it into Mad Max world, and we're fighting for like sand to eat. Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, so
that's a bar.
I think that's what you gotta do to expand your voter base.
address apathy.
I think, well, yeah, running on populism is the biggest thing, too, because that's how Trump riled up an entire base, too, was because of populist ideas. Because whenever you run on that, and that is one thing that will always rile up you, I say, hey, I'm going against what all these people have been doing for the past 30 years in yeah. politics. I'm the odd one out. I'm not like these like these other elitists and stuff. Get me someone who's going to upset the established order and stuff. Yeah. That's obviously one way to do it, too, which is partially what Bernie's doing, running on populist ideas. That's what Trump's entire campaign was gone, was on populist ideas. And it's one of the biggest things to get a big-ass turnout.
It's so. Like, if there was a system in which there could be actual, like, on... Because I'm looking at, like, the TV model of things. If, you know, they do these debates. If there was a system that would have, like, a verification process for statements, like, live, that'd be pretty cool. Like, let's say, like, a candidate next to me says something like this, and it's like, oh, like, an aunt shows up, like, you said, they're, like, 30 minutes
or you said this. You were arrested in South Africa.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'm you saying, voted like, on I just Iraq think that, war. Like, the way Americans are operating nowadays, everything needs to be so simple. Simple. It needs to be simple, and it needs to be, like, in their eyeballs. Like, it can't be like in this. They don't like cleverly worded things. They don't like rambles. They don't like that. Like, they like Trump.
Trump has lied 10,000 times.
All Trump sentences are like 7 words. Like, there's 7 word sentences.
Exactly.
Like, he's just saying hit points and like moving his hands like this. Like, if I was I'd be a research scientist too. He'd be the goofball.
Another thing too is you literally have to restructure the entire education system in America.
But can we just think about what's crazy? Like when Obama was here, like, he was dropping these insane poetic speeches. Like, oh, this is the most beautiful damn thing I've ever heard in my life.
A different 35
minutes. And then Trump comes, it's these crazy rallies. And like, wow, we've like done a 180. So
yeah, it's a different people are following
the Democratic model. It's over. That shit's over
people
now.
People are tired of everybody sounding like a politician. Because they say people are like, they don't speak like
Trump
normal
people.
Trump
is going to get away with some stuff because he's white.
That too.
He's going to get away with
And more. Also another thing is people started to normalize it. Because they said, oh, that's just Trump.
But yeah, because like
the same thing. Oh, that's just this
he's
candidate.
Just doing his thing.
The thing about like the lie detector thing that I was joking about with Washington Post is that like there are people who like Washington Post is like democracy dies in darkness, and if you don't have Amazon Prime, because that's our owner. But they're like, they've been tracking all of Trump's lies, and it just doesn't matter because people don't care. So I think this conversation is good in getting what people care at. I think that you have to address apathy, you have to address like populist causes, but I think you straight need to tell people, yo, there is like it comes a time every 100 this is the thing that Bernie shouldn't say until he's absolutely got the nomination because it's wild. We should say there comes a time every 100 years or so where we gotta do a little bit of economic reorganizing. Like, hey, we had to do a little bit of trust busting in the 1900s because the robber barons got a little bit too uppity.
Make a wish.
Because it's 1616. It's almost 1420, make a wish. No, but like, I really think that the next person who wins has to say, like, yo, like, it's I wanna solve this shit before the guillotines are necessary.
Yeah.
But y'all need to understand that I think you understand the guillotines are necessary, but no one's actually said that.
His if it's down to the wire for him, his approach needs to be like, look, do you really give a fuck? Like, do you care?
Do you really
or do you only care when you're suffering? Because when you're suffering, you're gonna come crying, it's gonna be too damn late.
Or like, do you still think you're a temporarily inconvenienced millionaire? Or do you like actually realize that they're just telling you that shit so you don't come after them?
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's like they what's annoying is that people that aren't voting for like Bernie or whatever, not saying like vote for you want, of course on the Democratic side, but it's like, do you enjoy people like down to, like lying to you? Like, it seems like it's like you're just being lied to so much about like how much they care about you, but they're passing all this stuff, especially during elections, like secretly passing bills that are not helping Americans at all during this time.
I think there's also like a really negative connotation with the word taxes in America. And I think like Reagan and them like did a great job in making the word taxes so dirty Like,
because look how it was before in the 50s. The taxes were way different. Like
90% or some shit.
Yeah, and look how great the... Because they always say, make America great again. I'm like, well, make it in the 50s when people were taxed the shit out of, and that's how you make the entire freeway system.
Let's relax.
Taxes are low. Like the 50s. Jobs, unemployment rate is low.
I don't either. Fuck. The McCarthyism, I'd get hanged.
Unemployment rate's low. Taxes are low. I'm just saying it looks like Trump fixed the country.
As you can see on camera from his phone, he's not looking at that. He's on OnlyFans.
He's on his own OnlyFans. Subscription.
Scrolling his Ubu. Like, yeah, everything looks good.
I think that's another thing too. Like, because that's another thing they hit Bernie with. Well, are you gonna raise taxes? Are you gonna raise taxes in the middle class? Are
you
gonna
you have to frame it a different way too. Yeah. Because you could say, hey, look.
So that's such a sensitive word.
Example: Medicare for all. You could say there's because people are like, you're gonna raise your taxes, but you say you save money because you don't have to pay to a middleman who is essentially a fucking tax.
It's basically. There's another thing too. Like, I mean, this is somewhat random too. There's a part of me that wished that they wouldn't say Medicare for all and just say universal health care.
Is
that a thing?
Because, the reason why Medicare for all worked is because Medicare is a very popular program that people already like. And again, like Steve said, American's pretty dumb. So if you say for all, then like it's just like, oh, like, the thing that everyone likes.
Universal health care, they're like, what is universal?
Universal highways.
Oh, is it run by Universal Studios?
Someone would honestly ask that.
I hate to think that Americans are so dumb. Honestly, I just hate to think that.
Bam, I'm sorry.
It makes me sad.
What's the meme?
No, listen. I'm for Disney care for all who can afford it.
Like, it just
makes me... Tesla's gonna come out with new health care. We got this, y'all.
Think of Americans when we went into Iraq. Like, where's Iraq?
Oh yeah, they're pointing to Ukraine. Where's Iraq?
Yeah, we're talking about geography. Pakistan, Americans are definitely top tier idiots on geography. Like, absolutely,
and we're even better in economics.
Because bam, you sit here, you're all sad that Americans are so stupid. Because again, one of my biggest points too is you have to redo the entire educational system here because
kids line dancing instead of math.
Yes. Straight up, they did, and that I'm like, because a lot of things I learned is from outside things out of school. Because this shit was ridiculous, so I would read things outside of school, read books, whatever.
Even in college, I felt like I only actually learned in like five classes.
Yeah, one of my biggest classes was foreign language.
And I think people were talking about the education. We're kind of going on, but like you feel like you're just repeating. America's education has always felt like every new, like, you know, elementary school, middle school, high school, college. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're just repeating everything you learned before. Like,
you are.
Here, we're doing this again. We're doing this again. And then until you get to, like, your graduate studies, and you're like, whoa, like, I'm just either writing a whole lot or I'm learning some new shit. Like,
it's a failed system. You're completely different.
We're trying to help you critically think.
So different.
We're trying to make critical thinkers.
Any person that goes to college in another country, they're so smart.
Yeah.
Like, if they made it to college, which is, like, a big privilege in a lot of places, but, like, any, like, kind of developing nation, if they went to college, they'll talk to you about all these philosophers and all kinds of stuff, because, from high school.
Well, there's a lot
and they know, like, four languages.
Yeah.
Here, we're just like, what? What do you mean?
Because, like, example, you have the...
Donde está la biblioteca?
I took Spanish 4 years. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Because, well, example, you have your GE systems in college or university here. In other countries, you don't have GEs. Like, I know...
They're like, why GE? You took that for 12 years in school.
I know in... there's a couple countries where you have an extra grade right after high school, and that's all your GEs, and the next one, and then, or you could do trades instead.
Yeah, well, here they're just trying to make money, so they're 100%. Just like, oh, you gotta do GEs, or
like,
spend another 2 years dropping 60 GEs.
You don't have to, like, work as a mechanic here, you don't really need any licenses officially compared to other countries where you have to go to an actual registered mechanic, work for them for a certain amount of years until they allow you to take a test to become a registered
mechanic.
Like
an apprenticeship.
It's a complete apprenticeship.
So it's like...
There's none of that here. So that's why you always have to go to a guy who knows a guy to get some shit. And it's so... There's so much stuff.
I think making that connection to people that, like, yo, like, outside... Like, other countries look inside of America and they're like, wait, what? Y'all really do shit this way? I think just... Talking to people and saying, like, there's a totally different way of doing the normal things we do,
but the thing against that, not that it's my argument, but a lot of people say, well, but then why do they all want to come here?
That's wrong.
Well, no, but people want to come here
because they have an image in their head of the America the great, America the free.
And also, like, that's like a 90s narrative, to be honest with you.
No, I mean, I'm not saying that's true, but people still say that.
No, because people also, it is people.
Well, Americans say that.
It also,
but America's cool, though. We've monopolized LeBron James.
We have Wiz Khalifa. We're fucking cool.
Yeah, no.
I hope
someone didn't say that.
It's more driven, you can reframe it by saying it's more driven by capitalism. And the fact that, like, if you work in many fields and you specialize in many fields with your fancy degree in another country, turns out the only place to get a job for that thing is headquartered in the United States.
You can go anywhere around the world, but every other company that's thriving in the country always goes like,
it's also a cultural thing with America too, because America's culture has such a big impact on other countries. I think that's why.
I mean, we're the coolest
exactly
country.
Exactly, I'm straight up. Because people are like, oh, look how
I'm
cool.
Here.
Cap. But everybody's like, this is such a cool place to live. This is such the culture, everything here. So that's where they want to come in, because they see it online. They see it with all these celebrities and shit.
All the
so
dances come from here.
Right. Other thing too is if you're in an impoverished country, you could go, okay, I'm escaped, like Latin America. They're like, I have no other option other than to come up, because I'm literally, my family's getting killed. I have all this other problems, and that's one way to, that's my only hope, is to come up. And that's how, obviously, America
keeps going to Canada, though.
Exactly. Just keep going north and just play hockey instead of football, and you'll do a lot better in your life.
What is going on? I don't know. The last sentence was about, but all right, cool.
I'm
a hockey plug.
I'm gonna.
It's because fuck.
I'm gonna pause right here. This has been quite a podcast where we had a lot of the experience.
We got the hockey. It's time to go.
No, I think that was really good. We'll have to talk about Russiagate another time.
No,
we're already an hour into this. Come on, let's let the folks go.
That's all.
Yeah.
That's all, folks.
If you like, it seems like we have a cliffhanger here. We don't know how the rest of March is going to go. We don't know if there'll be a nominee.
Tuesday's next primaries, no?
There's going to be primaries basically every Tuesday until April, and there'll be a bit of a break. But
what's the next debate?
March 15th.
Sunday.
March 15th. I can't wait. Biden's going to get coronavirus.
It's going to be a duo.
If he gets coronavirus, you know he's going to be one of those people that die.
They're going to give him sympathy votes.
No. If Bernie or Joe Biden gets coronavirus, they're going to die.
No, oh my God. Biden's going to accuse Bernie of having coronavirus, and they're going to be like, why'd you say that? He's like, I said that?
He's going to say, wait, what's coronavirus?
Joe Biden's going to get
a
question.
What's going on?
Joe Biden's going to get a question. His eye blood vessel is popping. He's like, smell toast.
When the liver's spot. He's gonna be like, didn't I vote against that name before?
Guys, it's a hoax. Yeah. We just get $8 billion to a hoax.
Like Klobuchar and Buttigieg are just doing weekend at Biden's. They're just like holding up the courts.
Right there. That's hilarious.
Think you're going to the Leisure World.
Anyways, this has been the podcast. We will have probably some type of recaps.
The 16 podcast.
We'll have some recap of what 16 goes
pod
on.
Is a cool name, really. 16:20 for you.
I call it Dirty for 30, but Okay. Feminism. Okay. Well, we can end there and talk about it. Check out We Made It Podcast on all podcast platforms. Check out Audio Face Podcast, and fuck them.
Check out Dan from the Internet on YouTube talking about Diamond and Silk's Weaves.
gotta tap the brakes on that a little bit. Check out We Made It Seas for streaming content, all that kind of stuff. Making so much more money than all of us.
The only one making money.
Bloomberg says, my taxes take a while to formulate. It's big, unlike you, Warren. You're broke. I got money. It just takes a while.
Listen,
there's somewhere in America, Samoa, the papers is coming.
You go to H&R Block, I talk to Chuck. All right?
You can't just go to H&R Block for my taxes, okay?
You gotta take a flight to the Cayman Islands.
You gotta go to Panama, the Panama Papers, and then kind of you figure it out, you know?
Can't do my taxes.
Dublin, Denmark, Delaware, all of them.
Yeah, all of these.
Delaware, for sure.
Okay, thank you very much. We're talking to you
Bye.
Peace.